Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis, Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Kufa Amud Shmuel, Shutif. If somebody is a Shutif, is Kiyad B'Shustami, it's considered as he had every authorization to work on that property. So, the halacha, as we've learned, is that there's a difference on how somebody works on somebody else's property, if he was authorized to work on that property or not authorized to work on that property. And teaches us our Gemara, that Shmuel teaches us that a shutif is considered as if he has authorization to work on that property. So ask the Gemara, my Kamashman, what is Shmuel trying to teach us? That shutfus ein lo chazaka, that one partner cannot achieve a chazaka against another partner on that property. Ask the Gemara, if that's what Shmuel meant to teach us, Suleyma, he should have said so, the shutfim ain't like chazaka, the shutfim can't create chazaka. Says the Gemara, because this the Gemara says, what is meant, what Shmuel meant to taught us, was Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Avua, Loimar to teach us, Shunaitl b'shvach habagia le Kusfasayim, that the partner gets a share in the produce of the product of the field. The halacha is like this: that if somebody works on somebody else's property without permission, so the halacha is yodei al tachtoinam, and we evaluate if the improvement that he did, that he worked on this property, was more than the expenses that were incurred. So then the halacha is he just gets reimbursed his expenses. And if the expenses were greater than the improvement, he only gets the value of the improvement. But that's because he's an individual who did not have permission to work here. But tells us Shmuel that a shutif is kiyoyed brishus, and therefore even if the expenses were greater than the improvement of the field, he gets his expenses back. Because that was the understanding that when they became partners with an understanding that each one has the permission to work and improving the property, and therefore they're entitled to get reimbursed for their expenses. That's the way the Rashbam understands the Gemara. The Rav, who says that's only that when Shmuel started the shiur today by saying shutif kiyoyed brishus, that's only if the improvement is worth more than the expense. But if the expense is greater than the improvement, then he only gets the value of the improvement. And moreover, says the Rav, he has to swear that those were his expenses. And therefore, even though Shmuel said that he's kiyoyed brishus, he's not like 100% a person who is hired to work in the field. So the Gemara says that he gets shvach hamagil k'svasayim. That means something that the Rashbam explains, that is fruits that have ripened but are still connected to the ground. That's what he's entitled to. But Tosfos has a different pshat. Taisu says, Shvach HaMegil K'susayim means that anything that he had, that he worked for to create this, in other words, he worked, and because of his work, these fruits came out. So he's entitled, because he exerted himself, he put in effort. But in a situation where he didn't put himself out, for that he's not entitled to get. And moreover, but Sadashayna Suri Lita, if it's the field that's not meant for trees, it's meant for grain, and he planted trees, right now he had permission to go there. So since he had permission to go there, even though it's not meant for trees, if there are trees, he's going to get the value of the tree. In other words, as the Rashbam says, there's two things that he's entitled to. He's entitled to shvach HaMegil K'Vasayim, and another thing is that even though it's a field that's not meant for planting trees, if he planted trees, we give him credit for the trees. We give him credit for the trees that he planted. And the reason is because since he is a partner here, he is authorized to work with this property as he sees fit in order to turn a profit for the partnership. The Mordechai writes that let's say there's a partner that takes money from a joint business account and the investment fails. He's not responsible to compensate the partner for the loss as long as he acted responsibly. The Rambam explains that a partner is not authorized to spend money differently than other members of his trade. So, for example, he says, if you have somebody in the jewelry business, and if the jewelry business, people do not normally sell merchandise on credit, and a partner in a jewelry business decided to sell jewelry on credit, he is responsible to compensate his partner if the person who bought it on credit doesn't pay. If he does pay, then they share the profit equally. The Ruka Yosef, continuing to mentioning the Ra'ah that we just mentioned, says that if a partner works in a field without permission, if the field yields a poor crop, which doesn't cover the cost that he put in, the partner will have to suffer the loss. And like we said, the Ra'ah's opinion is that when Shmuel said that a partner is considered that he went with Rishus, he only meant if there's a lot of profit, not if the expense exceeds the profit. But the question is why? How do we understand the Ra'ah? If we're saying that a partner, because he's a partner here, is authorized to work here and invest, why should there be a difference? He should always be allowed to get back his expenses. So Dibris Moshe explains that we go back to what we just said, that since this field was a sada she'ena su'ilita, it was a field that was really not meant for planting trees. So when he went and planted trees, he's similar to the case of the Mordechai, who when somebody did something but didn't do it in the way that's normal to be done, he extended credit in a place where credit is normally not given. And there, he's not entitled to, there, he has to suffer the loss. The Nesivus differentiates between a partner who invests funds from a joint business account and a partner who uses his own personal funds. He says that if a partner uses his own personal funds, even into a business where he is a partner, since it was his own money that he used, he can't compel his partner to participate in a loss. We learned further in the Mishnah, Hashut v'machzikim zel zeh, u'me'idim zel zeh. We learned further in the Braisa yesterday, in the previous year. Hashut v'machzikim zel zeh, u'me'idim zel zeh, v'nasin shoymrim zel zeh. Says the Gemara, in understanding what it said, be'idim zel zeh, if somebody comes and makes a claim against this property, which is owned in partnership, the halacha is that the other partner could be an aid. But ask the Gemara, why could be an aid? Amai, noigin by dosenhein. Isn't he a negeya by aidus? He has a relationship with his partner. So the Rishonim ask an obvious question. Noigin by dosen usually means that I have some external relationship here, as we'll see in our share today. Here he's not a negeya by aidus. If I'm a partner in this property, and there's a claim being made against this property, so I am the litigant, I'm not the aedis. So the Rikakush explains that the case of Al Gemara is when the person who's making the claim says that this property belonged to my father, and I know that half of the property was indeed sold to one partner, but the other half was never sold to that partner. So the claim is really only being made against my partner, not against me. The Rashba and the Ritva say that indeed the wording of Negei Be'edis is imprecise. They're really Bali Dover. But the Gemara used this word to teach us the halacha about if I, as we're going to learn extensively, if somebody walked out, was Masalik himself, then he's not considered a partner, and he's not even considered a Negeya Be'edis. The Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says, when we speak about the two different disqualifications, one disqualification is somebody who's a Negei Bedover, one is somebody who's a Baldover. A Baldover is an individual who's a litigant himself. And since he's a litigant himself, there's a rule, Adam Karva Eitz Latzmoy, and a person can't be believed regarding something that affects he himself. And therefore, maybe there, we could say, well, if it's not you yourself, it doesn't, then there's no problem. But if the problem is Negei Be'edis, so Negei Be'edis, the reason somebody who's Negei Be'edis is disqualified is, as we've discussed in previous shurim, is we need to be concerned that this person is lying. When we are concerned that the person is lying, then it's not only what is his himself that we don't believe. We don't believe anything that he could, perhaps, we have reason to believe he may be lying. And that's why the Gemara preferred to use the word Negei Be'edis than Baldover. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, so how could they say Edis one against the other? Says the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, the Bryce is referring to a situation, Shmuel is referring to a situation, the Kosovle that he wrote, Dinat Varm Ainli Asadazu, he completely walked out of the, walked out of the property. And therefore, since he gave up his right altogether, so therefore he's not in the Geya. But ask the Gemara, the Chikos of Law, even if he wrote so, my Havi, why should that make a difference? For Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, if two people are partners in a property, and one says to the other, Dinu Dvarim Ein Li Asad Hazu, I have nothing to do with this property anymore. Ein Li Esek Ba, Yod Meselekes Menu, Loi Omaklum, it's a meaningless statement. Since he is an owner of this property, saying this is only explained to Rishonim as if he's saying, this property is a headache for me. I wish I never had to deal with this property. And therefore, it's not considered halachically binding. It's not considered halachically binding that once he walks away. Answers the Gemara, Hochem Maiskinen. Here we're referring to a case, it's not just that he said, Dinat Dvarim Ein Li Asad Hazu, which we interpret to mean that he doesn't, that it's just something that he's saying, I wish I never had this headache. He actually, Konam Yodoy, he made a kinyan. And since he made a kinyan, that's why it's considered that he indeed is not related to this partner anymore. So the Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. Yes, at this point, he said, Dinat Dvarim Ein Li Asad Hazu. I'm completely out. And as the Gemara explained, not only did he say so, he accompanied it with a kinyan. But at the beginning, he was a aide. He wasn't a gay bedover. So this should be considered a situation of Tchilosa Bepaslos, the Soifa Bekashrus. He started off as a disqualified oid, and now he became qualified. And therefore, he should remain disqualified. So Rimi Magash says that the only time we say that somebody is Tchilosa Bepaslos, the Soifa Bekashrus, he remains a disqualified aid. It's only by an aid that's disqualified because he's a Karev, because he's related to an apostle, he had inherent disqualification. But however, when the concern is Negei Be'edis, there we don't say this concern of Tchilosa Bepaslos, the Sefer Bekashrus. And I think the reason is that somebody who is inherently apostle, so he's inherently apostle, and that made him possible to be an aid. Somebody who's a Negei Be'edis, as we said a few moments ago, the concern is that he's going to say something which is not true. So as long as I have a personal interest there's a real concern that I'm going to say something that's not true. Once I don't have that personal interest, so the fact that I was once in the Geyer Be'edus is immaterial. There are others that explain that we're going to have to, because of this question, we're going to have to say that we're speaking about a case that everything that came up only came up after he was mesalk himself, after he removed himself. So he only became an aid after that point, and therefore it's not a situation. The Marit says a very interesting answer. He says that the halacha is that kol ha'omer l'gozes k'gozes dami. The halacha in more than one place in Shas discusses something which is eventually going to happen. Does the halacha view it as if it already happened? Says the Marit, if this person who was a partner, and indeed when he was a partner, he was in the gay be'edis, had intention, or ultimately that's what happened, that he removed himself from being part of this partnership. So since that was something that was about to happen, we apply the concept of kol ha'omer l'gozes k'gozes dami, and he was already considered from the beginning as somebody who had no part of this situation. But then I saw that the Rishonim asked, even if he walked away, so he's not a partner in the field anymore, but the payers that were from this field before he removed himself, he's certainly a partner in. So since he's a partner in that, so how can we say that he's no longer an aid? So one terrorist that they say that there were no payers, so that's not part of the consideration. Another explanation that I saw, that there are no edim that these people ever had, ate payers. So the person who's making the claim against them is not able to make a claim on payers because he doesn't have a proof that they ate payers. The Rishonim also ask, why do we have to say that he removed himself? Why didn't he say that he sold or gave the gift as a gift, his share, to the other partner? So the Rashbam answers that the Gemara wants to teach us that even though, as we said a moment ago, that in many circumstances, siluk, removing yourself, is ineffective, here we're learning that it is effective, and to teach us that if you make a kinyan that way, that's going to be a valid kinyan. The Machna Frank quotes a machloikus in a situation where Eidim were negeya be'edis, and then they removed themselves. Can they come and say Eidis again? That means at the time that they said Eidis, their Eidis was disqualified because they were negeya be'edis. But then the situation changed, like in Al Gemara, the situation changed because they were mesalk themselves, they removed themselves. And now that the situation changed, they want to come back and say Eidus. Would they be allowed to, would we accept that Eidus or not? He quotes the opinion of the Bala Eater that too late, if when they said the first time they said testimony, they were negay be Eidus, even though now they're no longer, you can't go back. The Marie Ben Lev disagrees, and he brings a raya. He says the halacha is, of course, Eidim who get paid to say testimony are disqualified Eidim. But what would be the halacha if Eidim took payment to say testimony? So as we just said, their testimony would be disqualified. What would be the halacha so they'll return the money they received, and now they'll say the Eidus again? Will their testimony be accepted? And he suggests, yes, now they're perfectly kosher Eidim. And since now they're perfectly kosher Eidim, we would be able to accept the testimony. So he says the same will be here. Even though when they said their original testimony, they were negeya be'edus, but once they walked away from the property and they are no longer negeya be'edus, they could reappear and reappear in Bezdin and say Eidus. Ask the Gemara, by having, why, if they made such a kinyan, would that be fine? The halach is that if somebody owes somebody money, and the person who he owes money to could collect from any property that I own, or any property that I owned at the time of the loan. So now, what's going to happen is that this person is saying that this property, if he's saying a testimony that this property belongs to whomever, now, and if he says testimony that it indeed belongs to the person who's issuing the protest, the person who he owes money to that will not be able to collect from it. And therefore, he doesn't want to say that. He's preferable to say that this property belongs to my partner. It always belonged to my partner, and it belonged to me also. So if there's a Baal Chayiv to whom he owed money to while he owed that property, there's a lien on that property. So he has benefit, even though now he's no longer an owner. Says the Gemara, because the Amar of Avin Bashmu Mishmei Dishmu, Hamaycha said the Chaver Shloi Bachrayis, if somebody sold the property to somebody else, and he didn't take on responsibility that if they're going to take the property away from his customer, he will have to compensate his customer. Ain Meirale, he can't say any testimony on this property, even though he's no longer an owner on this property. Neishma Midai Befnei Baal Chayvai, because what's happening is, because by saying that this, the person who he owed money to could collect money from it. Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ma'eskinen, we're speaking about a case that sold the property, the Kabbalah Achrayis, that he took upon himself, that if this property will ever be taken away from the partner because of a loan that he owed, he would have to pay back his former partner. So he has nothing to gain from this Eidus. Says the Gemara, let's understand that a little better. Achrayis the man, what did he mean to say? Inem Achrayis the Alma, if we say that he took upon himself, that if somebody will take this property away, he'll pay back koshke the nichalei. He doesn't want that the property should be removed. Al chrayis to asle machmasme. We have to say that he took upon himself the responsibility that if the property will be taken away because of money that he owned, that means he gave up the property to his partner. Now there was a person to whom he owed money to prior to that, and that person comes and he doesn't have a way to pay him back, so he takes the property away from the partner. So now, when somebody comes and says that this property is mine, he has nothing to gain that by saying that it's whoever's. That because even if through his edus the property will remain with his former partner, and his Baal Chayiv will be able therefore to collect from that partner, he will still owe his partner money for the property that was taken away. So he doesn't care what happens. He has nothing to gain. And therefore, since he has nothing to gain, that's why he could say testimony. But ask the Gemara, v'chimisalik nafshi, minei mistalik, is that the halacha, that somebody could just remove themselves, the Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, if you have a city where the Sefer Torah of that city was stolen, and there's a Din Torah, the halach is, ain't donin but dayonim aseir, they can't be dayonim regarding that Sefer Torah, ain't mavin raya, and if somebody wants to bring raya to ownership of the Sefer Torah, the halach is, They cannot be used anche asir. But ask the Gemara why. Vim Isa, if there's always an option to remove yourself, so ask the Gemara, Lasalki betray minayu, let two people from that city remove themselves from this case, and Ladainu, because it won't be relevant to them. Answers the Gemara, Shani Sefer Torah, you can't bring a raya from a Sefer Torah del Shemikai. A Sefer Torah is meant to be used because I have to hear Kriyas HaTorah. And since those people have to hear Kriyas HaTorah, they can't be they cannot be removed. They can't remove themselves. They need to hear the Sefer Torah. The Maril Diskin says that we know that in Parshas Masai, Moshe Rabbeinu has a conversation with the Bnei Gadim, Bnei Ruvain, that he tells them they wanted to get their share in Eretz Yisrael and Deva Yardin. And he says, if you will go chalutzim b'fnei Bnei Yisrael, if you will join in the battle for Eretz Yisrael, then I'll agree to this arrangement. And they respond to Moshe Rabbeinu, lo noshev el batenu, that we agree to this arrangement, and we won't go back ad hisnacha b'nei Yisrael ishnach lasai, until everybody gets back their share in Eretz Yisrael. And the Maril Diskin asks, we understand why they have to be there for the duration of the war, because they need to keep their part of the deal. But he asked the Maril Diskin, why do they have to remain so that the war will end and they should go back home? So says the Maril Diskin, there was a very big problem. They're coming here to divide Eretz Yisrael. But everybody who's participating in the division of Eretz Yisrael is a Negei Bedover, has interest, because they're dividing it up to the people that live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Bnei Gad, Bnei Ruvain said, we will be the people who will divide up Eretz Yisrael. And since we don't have a share in Eretz Yisrael, there's no problem that we're Negei Bedover. The Rishonim ask, the halach is the question that we mentioned before. How could they be just remove themselves? How could the Gemara have asked that they should remove themselves? If they remove themselves, it isn't going to help them anyway, because at the beginning they were posel, and the posel, how could somebody be posel and then become kosher? So the Rishonim answer, like we said a few moments ago, that that's only in a situation of if the psul was the kuskar of apostle. Here, because they were negei bedover, that the locha tchilasa bekash, the apostle, the cipher, the kashrus doesn't apply. Another answer is that since they're not saying testimony in something that they're really directly involved with, they're only saying edus but regarding money that they are part of as being part of the city, that's why they're not considered chalasa b'paslus. And the Mordechai, I think, says this in a more lamdish way. The Mordechai says that since these people could have always removed themselves from being part of the city, that's why the halacha is that they're not permanently disqualified. So the Gemara asked, l'salka bei trei minayu v'ladainu, let two of these people from the city walk away. So the Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara say the Ladina that there should be Dayonim? Two people can't be Dayonim. You have to have at least a Bezdin of three people. So the Tosfos says that what it meant to say was that the question here is that maybe for being Dayonim they could be, but they can't be Edim because of the reason of Tchilosu B'Paslus V'Soifu B'Kashrus. But most Rishonim answer that even though the Gemara teaches us that Shneim Shadonu Dineim, that you should always have a minimum of three Dayonim, the halacha is that that's only L'chatchila. But the Yevit, Shneim Shadonu Dayonim Din, two people who paskin the Torah would be satisfactory. The Rishonim also say that these two people who are going to be mesalik themselves, who the Gemara wants, they should be mesalik themselves, have to be people who don't have any relatives in the city. But if they have relatives in the city, so then they're going to be relatives of people who have interest in this din Torah, and they would remain disqualified. There's also, the Gemara said, Shani. Sefer Torah del Shmiyakai. Sefer Torah is different because they have to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. So the question is, why would be the halacha? So they're having a din Torah over one specific Sefer Torah, but there are other Sefer Torah. So now, are they considered Negei Be'edis? Because they don't have to hear Kriyas HaTorah from that Sefer Torah. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, If there's more than one Sefer Torah, then certainly they're not considered Negeba Eidus, because they could always hear the Kriya from a different Sefer Torah. And the Rosh takes it even a step further. The Rosh says if they remove themselves from this Sefer Torah, as long as there's another Sefer Torah in the city, that is enough that they should not be considered Negeba Eidus. The Rambam disagrees. He says that since invariably they're going to read from that Sefer Torah, the halacha is that's enough to make them negei be'edus, because they're going to hear from that Sefer Torah. But I saw Rabbi Chanan asks an interesting question. What are we worried about? That what's the concern about negei be'edus? The concern about negei be'edus, as we keep on repeating in our shir, is that they're going to lie. Is a person that we're accusing or we're concerned about lying going to be a person that's worried about not hearing Kriyas HaTorah? And from here we see that we can't measure mitzvahs. And there are people that may not be concerned about lying, but will be concerned about mitzvahs Kriyas Sefer Torah. So again, the Gemara teaches us that even a person who's mesalik himself from his shir in the shir Sefer Torah can't, because he needs the Sefer Torah to be mekayim the mitzvah. He needs the Sefer Torah to be mekayim the mitzvah. But then, of course, there's an obvious question. What is the problem of having benefit, that I'm having a hanah? But we have a rule, mitzvahs lav lahenes nitnu. So I'm not really having any benefit. So why does the halacha view this as if I'm having benefit? So to answer this question, we have to quote the words of the Avni Nezer in his Hagdoma to the Sefer Eglei Tal. The Avni Nezer in the Sefer Eglei Tal says, Midi davar, as I speak here, Zocha askrana mashishmati k'tzas pnei adam, I have to repeat what I've heard certain people say, Toyim ederech haseikel. And Avni Nezer says these are people who are making a very fundamental error. Vamru kimas anig b'lemudai, if somebody enjoys his learning, ein ze kol kach limud l'shma. It's not considered learning l'shma. K'moy, as it's not the same, im ha'yolomid b'pshitas, she'en lo ma'limud shum tanig. You'll get more schar, he says, for learning something you don't really enjoy. Says the Avni Nezer, it's a huge mistake. The mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, to enjoy what you're learning. And then, and only then, Divrei Torah Nivlaim B'damai, the Divrei Torah get absorbed. And therefore, says the Taz says it, Avni Nezer says it, this is not considered a situation of not having of mitzvah slav lahenes nitnu. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Ber Yitzchak from Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, Yoridei Simen Yotes. And he discusses the question that he was asked was that there's in the city a tax that every time people bought meat, they had to pay a tax on behalf of the community. But if they bought the meat for Sudas Mitzvah, they're exempt from the tax. And the question that he was asked was if an entire community is joining together to write a Sefer Torah, and as to initiate the writing of the Sefer Torah, they're making a Suda, is that considered a Sudas Mitzvah, that it should be exempt from the tax? So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, in that tshuva, actually begins a discussion. We know there's a mitzvah, Atam Kislu Chemes Ashir Azois, there's a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. And the question he discusses, if a community joins together to write a Sefer Torah, are they mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah? So he says, our Gemara discussed the person who wants to walk away, that is a member of the community, and he walks away. And the question is, how could So, and the question is, will that work? Will that Tzilik work? So, and the Gemara says it doesn't, because he needs to hear from that Sefer Torah. And as we've been discussing, well, there may be circumstances where he doesn't have to hear from that Sefer Torah if there's more than one Sefer Torah. Says Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan, but if the Sefer Torah belongs to the community, and he's a member of the community, and by having participated as a member of the community, he was mekayim the mitzvah etem kisulchem shirazois, how can we ask him to walk away and lose that mitzvah? It must be that you're not mekayim the mitzvah anyway that way. And since it must be that you're not mekayim the mitzvah anyway that way, so therefore the halacha is that we don't have to worry about him walking away. However, he says that that's not, our Gemara is not necessarily a proof. It could be that even though you're not mekayim the mitzvah, still he doesn't. He still wants to be part. He still needs to have a sefer Torah to mekayim the mitzvah of kriya sefer Torah. Lahalacha to his question, is it a sudas mitzvah or not? He says that if the halacha is, he says that a sudas erusin, which we know in the time from Midaraisa, the way Kedushin is performed, is that there's two steps. There's the Erisin and then the Suin. And when there's only Erisin, the marriage is not yet consummated. And even though there's only Erisin and the marriage is not yet consummated, the halacha is that a Sudas Erisin, so it's only just the beginning of the mitzvah. The halacha is that a Sudas Erisin is considered a Sudas mitzvah. So we see that whenever you're beginning to do something which is a mitzvah, it's considered a Sudas mitzvah. And therefore he says that the Suda, if there would be a community making a Suda as they begin writing a Sefer Torah, it's considered a Sudas mitzvah. There's a very interesting Chassam Sofer when we discuss Negeya Be'edus. One of the great Talmid Chachamim in the time of the Chassam Sofer was Ramat Chabanet. Ramat Chabanet was the Rav of the city Nikolsburg. But he passed away in a different city. He passed away in the city of Liechtenstadt. And he was buried in Liechtenstadt. But the people of the city, Nikolsburg, were very upset. He was their Rav for many years. And they wanted him buried in Nikolsburg. And they came to the Chassam Sofer if they could take his body and bring it to Nikolsburg. And they said to the Chassam Sofer that we heard many times from our Rav, Ramat Chabanet, that he wants to be buried either in Nikolsburg, which is the city where he was the Rav, or in the city of Prague. Apparently that's where his family came from. The people from Liechtenstadt wanted him to remain in the city of Liechtenstadt. And they said that the people of Nikolsburg should not be allowed to be believed when they say that that's what they heard from Ramat Chabanet, because of Negeya Be'edus. And the Chassam Sofer was asked how to deal with this situation. So the Chassam Sofer said that these people are not considered Negeya Be'edus. Why? He said, if they had said that we heard him say that we want that he should be buried in Nikolsburg, and only in Nikolsburg, so they would be in the Negeya Be'edus because they want Reb Mordechai Benet buried in their city. But they didn't just say that. What they said was that we want him, that he said he wants to be buried either in Nikolsburg and Prague. Regarding the city of Prague, which is not the city where they live in, they're not in the Negeya Be'edus. So they said once they're not in the Negeya Be'edus regarding the city of Prague, they're not considered Negeya Be'edus, and that's what they were saying, they're not considered Negeya Be'edus as well. There's a question, we know that the halacha is, that every week we have to say Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. And the question is, if somebody hears the Kriyas HaTorah, could that be considered that at least fulfilled one time of the Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum? The Marim Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef Engel bring a raya that it's not. Because our Gemara says that when you hear that, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? You fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, l'shmiyikoi, it's meant to be heard. So they say from here we see that the mitzvah of hearing the laning and the mitzvah of Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum are two different mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of kriya. The mitzvah of kriya, that is one mitzvah. That's the saying the words. That's the mitzvah shnai mikra v'chatargam. Whereas the mitzvah of kriya satayra, as our Gemara just described, is the mitzvah of shmiya. And therefore, it's two very different mitzvahs. And therefore, you can't be mekayim, the obligation of shnai mikra v'chatargam, in such a situation. Toshma. If somebody says, I want to participate in giving money for the people from my city for whatever cause, ain't done by the Dayanim Oseir, the Dayanim of that city can't be the Dayanim of that entire, they can't be Edom in that case. But ask the Gemara, Mai, why can't we have the Lsaki paid train of Shai? Two people from the city should remove themselves, so they're not Nogei Be'edus anymore. Vladainu, says the Gemara, Hachanami, the Sefer Torah, it's talking about a Sefer Torah, and as we just finished describing, you can't move yourself away from a Sefer Torah. Toshma, I'm a Tamu Mana Lania Iri. If somebody says, give money to the poor people of my city, the halacha is, Ein Danim B'dayonim Yaseir, the Dayonim of that city cannot be Dayonim. Vem Avin Raiman Yaseir. So the question, because they're Negei B'dover. So first the Gemara goes in to understand the Tisbara, Aniyim Shakli Dayanim Mifsali. So ask the Gemara, are the Aniyim, the people who are supposed to get the money, why would the Dayanim be possible? Why are they named Negei B'dover? The Dayanim are not the poor people. Eleima ain't done but Dayanim Aniyah Yisir, Femeriyim Aniyah Yisir. Yes, the Dayanim can't be from the poor people, but the other people, but the rich people don't have a problem. But Amai, and then the Gemara says, so if it's poor people are going to be the Dayanim, they indeed have to remove themselves. But ask the Gemara, Amai, why do they have to remove themselves? The Stalka Trebe Nafshayu, even if they're two people, let them say, we won't take any of this money, Viladainu, and then they should be able to be Dayanim. And says the Gemara, Hachanami, this Bryce is speaking about a Sefer Torah. V'may karle aniyim. So why they called aniyim? What does it have to do with being wealthy or poor? Says the Gemara, that kol eitzel Sefer Torah aniyim. Since all of us have to hear the Sefer Torah, and if there won't be a Sefer Torah, we won't be able to be in kaim the mitzvah, we're going to be considered aniyim. V'bay sema. But then the Gemara says a different answer. Loyal Kriktani was speaking about aniyim mamish. We're speaking about that the Dayanim are not poor. And why is it therefore a problem for Dayanim who are not poor being part of this case? It's talking about Benayim Darom Elayu. We're speaking about a situation that everybody, that these wealthy people have to support these Aniyim. And since these wealthy people have to support the Aniyim, so they have a vested interest in this entire the Negei B'Edus. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Heichidami, either kitzlu, if every person in the city has a tax, so let them pay the tax to the tzedakah fund that they have to pay. Leisibay trei minayim maida kitzlu, let them pay what they have to give, ladainu, and then they should be able to be dayonim. Hence says the Gemara, hakamayiskin delay kitzlu, there is no tax, it's just whenever there's a need, people have to participate, and therefore, if they're going to be able to have somebody else pay, they're negei be'edus. Even if there is a tax, and they already paid what they're obligated to pay, still, they are satisfied that this money should go into the tzedakah fund of their community, even though they already paid what they have to pay, because the kivin the ravach ravach. The more money that there is in the fund, everybody gains, and therefore they can't be dayanim unless lisalka nafshe, unless they remove themselves. And the officer of Rabbanan Nosson says shiva elam chelik olam haba, the seven that don't have a share in olam haba, elain lavlevar, the cipher, the toiv shabaroifin, the dain liiroi, the kaisim, the chazan, the tavach. So he asks, why is a dayan li'iroi not don't have a shin oilam haba? So he says that the problem is that a dayan li'iroi, if he's only a dayan for the poor people in his city. So we just finished learning that if you're a dayan for your city, so what that means is that you are, if you're a dayan for your city, what that actually means is that you have personal interest in many of the cases. And since you have personal interest in many of the cases, then the halacha is you're going to be considered a dayan apostle edus. We learned further about partners. V'nasan shomer shtocha zeh l'zeh. They could be shomer shtocha one for the other. I says the Gemara, am I? Why is that true? Says the Gemara, because isn't the shmir of Balaam? The halacha, as we learned in Masechet Baba Metzia, is. The Tayag Dosha says in Pashas Mishpatim, v'chiyishal ish meyems reyu, if somebody borrows something else, and we know that the shoyl has the highest level of responsibility for nishbar meis, in bal of imay lo yishalim. If at the time of the loan the owner was there with you, then you don't have to pay. And the Gemara Masechet Baba Metzia we learned says that this is not only a halacha by a shoyl, this is a halacha by a shoyl mesachar as well. So now when I'm watching somebody else, I'm a partner in somebody else's property, and I'm watching, so it's Shmir Babalim, because he's at this time the owner of the property, and he's responsible. So since he's the owner of the property, and he's responsible at that time, then the halacha is, that should make it that, and now I'm watching the whole property, it's a Shmir Babalim. And the halacha is that you're not chai by Shmir, to ever pay by Shmir Babalim. Answers the Gemara. So how did Shmuel say that they are a Shem Asachar and all the halachas of Shem Asachar apply? Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, it's speaking about a situation. The Amalei, Shmali Ayoy Vanei Shmalacha, Macha. The two partners made a deal. I'll be today and you'll be tomorrow. So since today he has no, responsibility, that's why the halacha is that he's not considered a shayim asachar, because I have no responsibility today. It's very interesting that I saw that the Svarim Kedoshim explain that when we speak about this concept of Shmira Babalim, it has a very interesting, it's very important when somebody does an Aveira. There are two types of people, Rachman al-Slan, who do an Aveira. There are people who do an Aveira because unfortunately the Yetzer Hara got the better of them. And since the Yetzer Hara got the better of them, that caused them to do an Aveira. But it's not the Chas V'Sholem, they don't think it's an Aveira. It's not Chas V'Sholem that they don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they realize that what they're doing is wrong. Just they had a moment of weakness that they did the Aveira. And then there are people who, Rachman al-Slan, are rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they explain that as long as you still believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then what you're doing is Shmira Babalim. You're not doing your job properly, but the Balim, the owner, who is the real owner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is still very much involved. And our Gemara just taught us that when we have a situation of Shmira Babalim, we're only here and we together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're potter. But if the person, Rachman Tzlan, is an apikiris and he doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's no longer a situation of Shmira Babalim. And that's a much more serious Aveira.